Every food court has two Chinese places handing out samples, and a smoothie shop, and a rolling ice cream place, a random ass Chick-fil-A, and a pizza Sbarro, and a gyros place, you know, for Mediterranean culture. But malls are really just dead places. They are. Malls have become this thing where there are more empty spaces than single mothers. That's where really the homeless should be, you know, going to shelter, you know. Oh, we have no room for them. It's like, there's only like 19 different available shops in these malls. But then again, you know, they have these little carnival games. They have people in these stands, these kiosk stands of, oh, we fixed your phones. It's always no refunds for these phone fixing places. It's always this Indian guy that's, we fix phones. And it's, you ask him, what do you fix? He's like, we fix phones. And you're like, all right, is there anything on a phone you can't fix? And he just says, we fix phones. And he was like, all right, that actually makes me not want you to fix my phone. And I'm in heavy need to have my phone fixed. I guess we are just playing mega phone knee. But, yeah. Malls, I think, honestly, are going to be a non-existent thing in like a year or two from now. I mean, malls are already disappearing all across. You know, we have the big kahunas out here, but these smaller suburban college town ones, I think, are going to be kind of a thing of the past. Basically, if Apple doesn't have a store in your mall, you're going out of business. Which, you know, I don't really get having the Apple store at the mall. You notice how Apple stores, they never actually have standalone stores. They're always in a mall. Like, imagine you have a phone issue and you have to go all the way to a fucking mall on a Saturday, find parking, you know, walk 8 fucking minutes just to go there. You forgot which floor. And then, it's like Apple's like almost designed. It's like they have, I don't know, advertisements or deals with other clothing. Like, honestly, for the mall, wherever there's an Apple store, they should be taking like 20% of everyone's profits, because they're the only reason why any motherfuckers are coming in there. But yeah. I love me a good mall, but not as much as Megan Hall likes, you know, they call it Tryst. I like how, for that, you know, if you guys remember that female cop who, was getting fucked by the whole squad, and, you know, they called it Tryst, like, oh, because since she was in a open situation with her husband, it's like, it's ironic that it's called Tryst, where if you take the Y out, it's supposed to be a U. If you take a Y replaced with a U, it's Trust. So Tryst is literally like tricks for kids. And she was a trick for a few non-kiddos. And God, I hope she never does have kids. But if she does, you know, we know she's got the milk pumping. But, you know, her forehead does look like a uneven avocado. an unseasoned, she'd be the type to make guacamole, leave the skin in, and not realize that cutting up and smashing up some avocado does not taste like the guacamole you get at these restaurants. And she would just put a pinch of salt. Yep, and there's a lot in that wound. But at least there's not one in her womb. Choo-choo. All right. But yeah. Wearing the oversized tee. Almost like I have a sleeper build. Or really just sounds like I haven't slept. And I'm just building the urge to build Bob and burgers. But yeah. Everything is overpriced. Yeah. Everything. You know, it should not cost $50 for some pants. It really shouldn't. It's crazy because, as you may assume, I went to a mall today, right? And it reminds me why I do not like shopping for clothes. One, it reminds you how absurd people are. It reminds you of what people are actually willing to pay for. But I will give you this. They have become a lot more cleaner in these malls. Well, I guess when less people come through, there's not much to clean up. But it's crazy how all these pants, like in these JCPenney's, these Macy's, they have these five different sections of name brand pants. The Levi's. I think there was one called Muwali Wild Living. You have your Arizona jeans. You have your LL Beans, I think is what they call it. And, you know, Carhartt. You know, you have all these different types of brands. You get where I'm getting at. Oh, St. John's. Which honestly just kind of looks like you're a stock trader on Conor McGregor's boat. Roadhouse. But Texas Roadhouse is kind of dry. But you know it's not dry. DRY stands for Don't Ripe Yams. Because I'm yamming on bitches. Yep. That's what dry stands for. But yeah. But all the prices of these jeans cost the same, you know. They're always $39.95, $44.95, or $49.99. And honestly, I don't know if it is a good deal. Because honestly, you break it down. Clothing that you will wear hundreds and hundreds of times, and it only costs that much, is actually a pretty good deal. But at the same time, if you can sell as much as they have there, and you're really just buying stuff for a price that honestly probably costs like a couple bucks to make, because it's such a need that you can't, there's not really a market to just buy good jeans for 10 bucks, you know. But God forbid if you have a kid, because kids' clothes, for some reason. Here's, you know, here's the thing, right? Here's where the price of children. It's not when children are like 12 or 13 or 14. Clothes actually become cheaper. It's the newborn fuckers. Like, they're the ones that, oh, you gotta get this two-piece suit for 48 bucks. And then the cost of formula, quote-unquote. Which, honestly, I think a lot of these baby products, honestly think babies can eat normal food. You just gotta cut it up and shit. I don't really think they have to sit here and be eating some Gerber Life baby carrot squash, Gerber Babadaboo all over the face. Like, I really think there is a marketing ploy to make people as broke as possible when they're babies, so they can sell these Gerber life insurance plans, so that you can always be in this fear of not being able to afford kids, so you become stressed. It causes people to quit their job, and it causes people to hate kids, and creates a cycle to put kids through the foster system, all because Gerber wants to charge you 12 bucks for 4 ounces of applesauce. But I don't know, maybe I'm thinking too deeply there. I just feel like I think a 2-month-old can eat, you know, stew. I think they can eat chili, you know. Don't feed them crackers, you know. Don't be asswipe. But, you know, they can eat mushy casserole. They can eat eggs, you know. Like, when I have a kid, 1 year, like, I would say at 6 months old, I'm feeding them eggs every day. Getting them on the bulk. Now I'm buying them normal clothes. I'm not buying these little button up around the diaper crotch little things that say Eeyore, oh man, today, and paying $48 for this little thing right here. Because I can bitch about, you know, $50 for some jeans. But $50 for something that a kid's going to throw up on? Now, maybe, I don't know, the textures are designed to absorb the throw up. Well, if you're looking for something to be a quicker picker-upper, just wrap them around in some Bounty paper towels, you know? Like a big old toga. You know, we have a lot of creeps out here, you know? Forget quiet on set for this Nickelodeon thing. Maybe just have these pre-Ks, have these preschools that are designed to just have kids walk around in just diapers, you know? You know, be a pedophile's wet dream. No, well, that's kind of fucked up to say. But, hey, you know, they do that shit in these. That's the thing you gotta be careful about these. You know, people shit on corporate daycares for crazy-ass prices. But, like, no, I want to go with someone I trust, not someone that's behind the establishment. Then, you know, you get this grandma and her 30-year-old crack addict son, you know, in charge of these small little daycares because it's a few hundred buckaroos cheaper. And then next thing you know, he's diddling your child. And then, you know, then you have people making posts about how the Nickelodeon thing, where it's like, hey, people making jokes of the trauma, I always find it humorous. But even I got uncomfortable when this girl said, it's like, shit, they're complaining. Oh, at least they didn't get molested for free like I did. Ha ha ha. And of course, they had to put a bunch of LOLs after. And, you know, I'm sorry that you did get that happen to you. But at the same time, there's no price you could put on a creepy man's touch, regardless of age. But you know what? It's not the same for everyone. Because you know what you never see with these big corporations? You never see hot-ass women going after these young children. You never see attractive middle-aged 40-year-old woman going after these young studs on set. It's always these creepy old guys that are asking to send feet pics to the iCarly, you know. Or was it Sam and Cat? Sam and Cat, iCarly, I don't know. They just interchange the same fucking people throughout the same thing. Really, Nickelodeon is just one big show. Once you take Cat Dog and you make it unanimated, and then you turn it into the Drake and Josh, iCarly, Sam and Cat, Victorious, Zoe 101. Once you put it all, they just have the same people play different roles when they get older. They just play an older version of what they played in another show. Because they're like, eh, we don't really want to put in effort for a whole new show. But you know, I don't know. If I was like a 16-year-old kid on set, quote unquote, and I don't know, and it was a mildly attractive, I don't know, 35-year-old woman that was trying to, you know, diddle me. You know, I think it's safe to say it is different for young guys when, look, I'm not saying take advantage of, because that's fucked up. But I think we process it different. A lot of boys be like, oh man, this is great. And then when they get older, they're like, oh, it's fucked up because everyone's telling me it's fucked up. But it's like, at the same time, if, you know, they enjoyed it, like, in terms of the young guy getting it from an older woman, typically, they're not going to complain too much. And we typically look at it as a reward. When it was the opposite, getting diddled by the older guy as a guy, or a young girl being taken advantage of by anyone, it's a whole different can of worms because of what that does to someone. Because we're supposed, you know, as young boys in this society, we're supposed to be empowered as we're moving up in the world, as we move up in the ranks. And when honestly you're taught about homosexuality being a way to dehumanize you, or sexuality at that young of an age is typically looked at as a negative thing. So when you're being diddled by a middle-aged man being forced to do things, quote-unquote, then, you know, it's dehumanizing. That shit fucks with you. And then that's where we have this quote-unquote Hollywood humiliation thing that's kind of trending now. You know, it kind of, it's always been around. You know, all of this stuff is coming out. People are saying the John Cena thing was a humiliation ritual. People are saying that, well, I mean, let's be honest. Did he finally get in his house raided today, you know? I don't know how much more evidence they needed for Homeland Security to be like, hey, you know, let's see what's going on here, buddy. you should have just left, you know, her at the altar in her white dress. Man, that dude produced a lot of music. But yeah, more like P. Diddling the young ladies. All right, that was not great. But you know what also isn't great? Today's sponsor. Just kidding. Don't have any right now. Because if I did, I probably wouldn't be able to talk about anything I've talked about in this episode. Because then these companies that are bigger than me or the companies that would want me to sponsor would shut them down, probably assassinate a few people, assassinate their face. You know, JFK. And you know what? I do have a feeling the longer I go into this business, when this thing becomes a thing, I'm going to have my, I'm going to have to hire some goons, you know. I have to go the Drake route, you know, Baka, I think is his name. Put a head on me and Baka will be at your doorstep. Except, Baka probably makes more in half a day than I've made in the last 5 years. but more like Boca Raton, Florida, because that's where I'll be hiding under a pseudonym doing secret podcast, being on the run like John McAfee, the guy who created the malware supply, and I'm going to need that malware protection so they don't track where I am and put a head on me for to collect. Yep. But yeah, I know death threats will be coming my way eventually, you know, manifest, right? Just kidding. But, you know, damn, that took a rapid U-turn. But it's better than the U2 concert verse, which is apparently the Sphere Dome, which is apparently a whole hog pile of shit. But, you know what? Legacy. But, you know, I have a dragon. How to train a dragon. But you know what they say about how to train a dragon? For every dragon that you train, there'll be a woolly mammoth brought back by bioscience. which I don't know what the whole point of the woolly mammoth. Apparently, they have the technology to quote-unquote bring back the woolly mammoth from extinction. Which, I don't know how you could say something's been extinct, and then say like, oh, actually, we could bring it back to life, like it's just some CPR that it needs. That's like, that's not how really species work. And honestly, even if we could, let's say we can, what the fuck are woolly mammoths going to do now? Where are we going to put them? Where are they going to breed? Where are they going to be woolly fucking mammoths? Everything's, you know, melting, you know? They're not even going to be able to survive or do anything meaningful. We're just going to revive them just to skin them and just make them look like that big old tiger off Ice Age. That's not the woolly mammoth. Yeah, holy, holy mammoth. Holy guacamole. But yeah, it just seems like we are gambling with this overture there. That's a nice word, overture. We are gambling with this overture to try to be as, to just have as much shit here as possible. Like, you know, because what people don't realize is when animals extinct, new species will gradually be built over time as well. Like, when when the species of one thing extincts, typically it opens opportunity for a new one to become developed. Because technically, species and DNA never extincts. It's always within somewhere. It's just about finding the right things to breed to expound those things to make like a combo version, you know? It's like cats, you know? We got tigers and cheetahs and lions, and then we have leopards, and then we have domestic cats, we have wild cats. I mean, you know, we have all these different levels of cats. If one cat were become the, if their species were become extinct, there's so much of a lineage, but technically it's just watered down somewhere. But technically, as the Titanic, they will always live on. Their heart will go on. I think that's technically the right saying. But, yeah. You know, it's like wild pigs, wild dogs. Wild dogs are actually more scared. Like, I don't know, would I be more scared to see a wild dog? Or would I be scared to see a, like, would you be more scared to see a species that you know will kill you on the spot, or to see a species that is unknown what you're getting yourself into? Where it's like, I've never, no one has ever seen something like this before. And I don't know what's going to do. Like, you know, if a wild dog comes after you, hey, like, you know the deal. But, you know, if like a, one of those deep sea creatures and you're in the ocean, and let's just say you have a nice glow in the stick and you're far enough down, but they kind of meet you halfway, and you get one of those ugly ass snapper lizard creatures with weird ass eyes that look like the ones I'll find in Nemo, but you know, creepier. And you come face to face with it, and you don't know if it's gonna cut you off like Saw. You don't know if it's just gonna eat you whole. You don't know if they got like a whole team of 80 of them motherfuckers just gonna attack you at once. But, you know, who knows? Yeah, but it's better than being T-boned by a drunk driver being a mother of three, because that's a sad story. But you know what? It is what it is. I don't know why we expect people or things to care when we have not set up things as well as possible. Which is kind of like these people that study abroad. I was actually watching some earlier where she studied. It was one of those Vice things where they study abroad. And, well, she talks about the real secrets, the real dangers, the real truth about what it's really like studying abroad for these churches and communities. Because on paper, it's evangelical. I doubt that's the right word, but you get what I'm saying. On paper, it's noble. You're doing something for the community. You're doing something bigger than yourself. And she talked about her experience. They went over there. The whole purpose was to build a library in Tanzania. And you basically go over there and, you know, you're interacting with the children and you're doing some good stuff. You know, it's not like you're doing bad, but it's kind of like there's some weird things about it that kind of expose that this is not about just about building libraries. This is not just about enhancing a place you're going to pass on some to leave it better than when you got there. It is a lot of self-serving. So when you go there, one of the rules is that you, people, part of the study abroad team, you eat separate from the people, from the kids or the families that live there, and you're actually going to help, basically the ones in need, you eat separate. And I don't mean just like you eat at separate tables, like you don't eat in the same building. And you're eating, you know, decent food considering what you got. And they're eating some shit that the kids are literally cooking rice and beans and all this shit. So that's kind of like, okay. And the issue is, because what people don't realize is when you go to these countries, people go there with their moral compass. Kind of like she explained. You go there with your moral compass of, oh, there's right and wrong and all this stuff. But what you don't realize, you go to places the same way when you're here, there's an expectation of how you live in your environment or your region, your state, the expectations. You know, even if it's not law, what will get you killed, what will not, in certain, you know, street settings. And you go to these places, and one of these kids exposed that, like, you know, her sexuality was fluid, or that, you know, she was this, that, and the other. But this person took that moral compass of, no, you should be open and living your truth type of thing. And what she didn't realize was, keeping on pressing her to do that, she puts her in a situation where in Tanzania, in the town that she lived in, she would be potentially killed for that. But her moral compass was all about living your truth and doing the right thing, which is great in thought. But in these countries, or you go to certain places, living your full truth sometimes gets you stoned. And I'm not talking about the kind that 70% of America enjoys these days. Good old-fashioned stoning. And I'm not talking about the Sorcerer's Stone, because there's no sword coming out of this one once you get it. kind of like me cutting through the show right now. But yeah, your moral compass, you travel, your moral compass shouldn't travel with you, if that makes sense. Like, you have your right and wrong, your beliefs, but you need to understand that sometimes you go into someone's house, you go into someone else's playground. I don't really care if you believe X, Y, and Z. When you're in these other situations, these other environments, your moral compass means absolutely fucking nothing. And passing on your moral compass and forcing others to quote unquote live through that can potentially get them killed. But beyond that, what I'll say realize is, so they would be kind of building, this study abroad team, this they'd be building this library, brick by brick, building foundation, you know, whatever, they have their team there. But every time they would build part, they would leave the site for a few hours to do stuff. And then someone else from the actual Tanzania, they would have them in the public actually build what they were building. So it almost came across that they were kind of there using slave labor to actually build this library, if that makes sense. But they wanted to take credit and, quote-unquote, they're funding it through certain funds of the local government, but they're not actually paying the people. It is just a way for them to freely get credit, be able to operate as a nonprofit, be able to continue funding this business of studying abroad, but still having the local government build something through their funding, if that makes sense. But yeah, I guess more of all that is, just because you travel, you're still a dumbass broad. but yeah, that's why traveling, like, really, it may be, in my opinion, one of the most overrated things to kind of add to your arsenal of knowledge or intelligence, right? I think we automatically assume the more we travel, the more intelligent we get, the more well-rounded of individualism that we kind of build of ourselves. But if you really take what traveling is, first of all, let's just say traveling is a lot of just work. it's a lot of having to do a lot of makeshift shit to actually get to where you're going. And all that stuff can really kind of, it can really jade what you're, traveling can really jade what really traveling's supposed to be for. Traveling is really supposed, is not supposed to be about just going there and absorbing the culture you're going to. It's also not about going there to spread the culture where you're from. I think this whole, like, we're in this obsession with combining cultures. And it's not really, it actually typically waters down the cultures of all types to go in there. The ones that are trying to be passed down and the ones that are already there. It waters them down both, and it makes it diluted, and it makes it where a vision kind of becomes intertwined and jaded. And that's why typically religions and cultures over time kind of fade to obscurity, and people become less and less potent or strong willed within that kind of setting. In my opinion, I think really traveling is really just supposed to be about comparing and contrasting where you're from and where you are. And be able to dictate what is normal, what is not, and be able to differentiate the importance of living, kind of understanding how the world operates as a whole, and finding the commonalities and realize that where you live isn't all that much different from everywhere else. Everyone typically has very similar principles and how they were built and how they're put together. Even if people run as a democracy, oligarchy, republic, whatever it may be, there's typically a lot of commonalities. Because when you realize that all these countries, they have to work in unison to kind of make distribution of goods and stuff go around. And traveling is more of a business than it is actual, like, tourism is a real business. And so I watch a lot of these food review shows, and it involves them traveling to, like, Egypt, Istanbul, all these different countries, Vietnam, Korea, North Korea, South, you know, you name it. And I watched a video where a guy, his pretty big ass channel, and the customs of going through Egypt was insanity. I'm talking about literally, he went there with his equipment. They held on his equipment, and he had to shoot off an iPhone or whatever. And literally, they held on his equipment for the whole, like, week and a half that he was there. And they almost didn't give him his equipment back. They made his life a living hell while he's there. Couldn't record here, doing random checks here, like, you know. But tourism is really the only reason why traveling and this studying abroad thing is really a thing. So, I don't know, you know. It just kind of, sorry, got distracted by my beautiful toes real quick. Everything is made, when you think about it, even in the, whether it's the United States, Canada, well, Canada may not fucking care, the United States or any country, everything is designed to appease people that don't live there and come in there for a visit more than it is treating the actual residents of it well. These places like Abu Dhabi, these places where, you know, camels will, you know, it's expected that camels shit on you for your OnlyFans page. You know, these places are designed to sell an ideal way of beautiful living, resorts, like resorts are designed, when you go to these other countries, resorts are designed to protect tourists. Even though there's been an onslaught, no pun intended, of tourists getting butchered left and right. Going to these places. And yeah, you know what? You go, you want to invade waters, be the richest, go somewhere and be the richest people there. And not really contribute to nothing, but you want to use the currency you made in America, transfer that money over, and you made five times as much doing the same job as someone over there, but you bring that currency over here. Like, of course people are going to be like, fuck this guy. And steal your fucking boat, and then do X, Y, and Z to you and your wife. Like, it's all wrong. But there's a lot of resentment built in these countries. There's a lot of resentment built against tourists. People that come in and want to feel like this privilege in a sense. Here's where real like tourist privilege. This is like, I'm not really a fan of privilege in all that sense. I think it's very oversaturated. It doesn't tell the whole story of why someone's in a position they are. Obviously, there are things out there that exist. But the overall, to blame everything on a quote-unquote privilege of some sort. Tourist privilege is one of the realest things you come out, you go there with. People hate when people who has everything in there, has everything they can have, all the opportunity in their quote-unquote, in their country where they're from. And they want to come to have this savior complex themselves and feel good about themselves to come, quote unquote, save us. But their idea of saving you is going to your country, staying in the most well put together, the most safest areas, when that's not really what real life is over there 99% of the time. Or real life is like 5 miles away from the resort where all the real shit happens. And, of course, they're going to be fucking pissed when a guy over there, when a guy like me goes over there and be like, hey, I'm just like you. I have the same problems as you. I'm no different. I'm here to just relate and enjoy the culture. Hey, you ever hate that guy? I'm just here to enjoy your culture. Whatever the fuck that means, you know. I mean, whatever culture means anyways, because culture is a very just loose term. We just kind of quantify into a simple statement. And it's typically one of those things, culture, you hear it and you kind of know what it means. But if you were to ask someone what a culture is, it would probably be very wishy-washy what they say. They'll probably get parts of it okay, and the other's like, meh, I don't know if that's really what it is. Because really, a lot of people's idea of culture is, what is a stereotype of fill in the blank religion or fill in the blank traditions? Is culture tradition? Is it religion? Is it habits? Is it just something that's passed down? Is it just something that people naturally do in an environment? It can mean a lot of fucking things. But that's the thing. No one knows what the fuck it means. But then they want to talk about the culture. And wherever the Bahamas, like, you know? But I don't know, you know, I'm just spitballing shit like Spyro. Because I'm on an Inferno roll right now. Yep. But, you know, who knows? Nothing like a white man on a mic talking about the culture of the world, you know? But, you know, that's what we do. We just talk about things that are trending out there, and we're appeasable to an audience. We're easily digestible, uncontroversial, and we'll try to appease anything. That's what people that do this for a job do. Except Candace Owens, which is why I guess she got fired from the Daily Wire. I actually don't know the whole story of that, but, you know, it's funny how when you work within a company, you talk very highly of everyone within where you work. Like there's this unity type of thing within like the Daily Wire, for example. Like, if you were to watch, there are four or five different people that do YouTube for them, or journalists, whatever. They're all on the same page, on the same topics, they have the same views, but then the second they get fired from them, all of a sudden they shit on the Daily, they shit on the company, or they start veering away from a lot of things they said just a month ago, and their whole tune about their attitude towards a lot of these things change. I'm not talking about her specifically, but I'm just saying this is a pattern. You notice with people, there's this group think when you work for a company, when you're talking about these issues like politics or just everyday life issues and, you know, whatever. Like, because politics is one of those terms that kind of gets souped down to just, you know, everything political. Because, you know, political, but politics simply stem from the simplest of forms of issues, you know. And when it becomes a big issue, then that's when we got to have, you know, people fucking guys in the ass in the congressional room. TikTok. TikTok on his cock. oh, Jesus. But yeah, I don't know. So, I guess maybe we just need to relax a little bit. I think that's what we need. We all just need to relax. Just sit back and relax. Because there's no panic at the disco here. They say lying is the most fun a girl can have without taking her clothes off. And I say, well, they can tell the truth with their clothes off too, you know. But, I don't even know where that's come. I just be saying some dumb shit. But you know what's not dumb? Feeling like you actually, pass on knowledge to people. I will say, you know, there is something about, passing on, like, actually having an interest, some getting decent at something. People come to you and be like, hey, I want to know what you're doing about X, Y, and Z. I want to know your knowledge on this and actually apply it and actually, like, you know, pass on stuff you know based off the work you put in. And you kind of develop a, not friendships. I think that's, you know, you develop a kind of a respect among people when you, I think that's the thing, right? Like, we want to have people in our lives that have something to offer us. And that sounds jaded in theory, but it's really like people occupy your time. People can cause unnecessary stress. People can just fucking, you know, cut your legs from under you. Really provide nothing. If anything, they just provide negative type of vibes. No, but they provide like just a negative, different way of viewing and living, you know. Like, I had someone, you know, recently, you know, we kind of develop a friendship, you know, slowly but surely, naturally. And one of the things that he said to me is like, you know, honestly, I used to, you know, I have friends in my life that I've naturally distanced away from because they're into, you know, wanting to get high and do this, that, and the other. And he's like, I just got a point in my life. I don't really want to do that. And then if you don't participate in these things, they call you a pussy and all this shit. Or, and then you, they just naturally, you just don't want to, it's like you realize not doing this stuff, not being a part of their group, and you realize what it's going to do, it's going to make distance, and then you're going to kind of be on this island by yourself. And he's like, I think all of us at different ages, right? I hit this phase probably like a few years ago. I had some people in my life that they weren't bad people, but there's just a natural distance on both ends because it's just things we had interest in, things that I wanted to kind of distance being around people who we're participating in certain things. And I realize, one, you get to a point in age and maturity of your life where you're just like, I don't know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what you're doing, but I just don't care to be around that, if that makes sense. And I'm honest with the fact that I'm in charge of what I want to do, and I don't want people influencing in my life to do things I know aren't helping me do things I want to do. And I think this person, similar phase, but fortunate for him, he actually at a younger age. So it's actually props to him. He's much more mature than I ever was at that age. I was still, you know, ignoring text. But no, it's kind of like when, you know, sometimes it's that thing of timing in life, you know. It is a real thing where it's like, I went through a similar phase and I've become in this comfort zone in my lane and all this stuff. And there's a lot of people in my circles of everyday life that come to me for, you know, insight, you know, not advice. You know, I mean, some people ask for advice, but I'm not really in a place to give advice about things, but they'll ask my input because they look at me and something about speaks that, hey, this person has a trusting, genuine aspect about them that whatever I ask, they're at least going to, this is someone that I feel like will offer me something useful, that will offer me something that will actually be beneficial to something I'm going through or in my life. And there's a comfort about it. And the kind of, it is a thing that sometimes you got to go down a, not a lonely road, but sometimes you got to be comfortable just going down a lane by yourself until you attract what the type of people you want to be around. Because it really is, like, I used to think, to be honest, that you could just kind of have this type of person in your life, but, you know, they serve its purpose for fun and all this stuff. But you really are, you really do become the people you surround yourself with. And it's deeper than just, oh, they party, I don't party. Oh, they do this, they're, you know, they're fucking bitches all the time. I'm a faithful man to my wife. Like, it's more than just the simple things. Like, it is about more of your approach to everyday life. Like, do you have good effort in everything that you want to try? Are you honest with yourself about things that you lack? Those are the qualities that I have noticed I'm starting to attract more people that you're trying to become. You attract people that are trying to better themselves when you were trying to do the same. If you're someone that are just trying to distract yourself with the next thing, to inebriate yourself with the next thing, that are just trying to, you're always bored because you have nothing, you don't know what you want to do with your day or your life. You're going to attract people that are the same type of thing, and you're all just going to be bored and pregnant together. All right. Then you're going to raise kids that get pregnant at 16. You're going to raise kids that are bored all the time. And then you are what you surround yourself with. And then your kids are going to become what they see from you. You know, it's like, they listen to 20% you say. They listen to 20% of what you say, but they watch 80% of everything you do. Actually, the thing is, they watch 100% of everything you do, and they listen to 20% of what you say. So, and that really is, like, you really do gravitate. You attract the type of people you want in your life. And sometimes it's a slower process, and sometimes, you know, it's instantaneous. But I think the biggest thing is just, it's just kind of these things that hit you out of nowhere. Like, oh, it's like, when you get consistent feelings from mass amounts of people, there's something about that. And you shouldn't ignore it. You know, don't get big-headed about it, you know. Because if I get any more big-headed, you know, I'm going to need a wider lens. it's a big head joke. G Jesus Christ. Be like Megamind. Oh, yes, she does. It's like, you know why they call it a deviled egg? Because it tastes like ass. Alright? I never understood the whole appeal of hard-boiled deviled eggs. Like, the smell of it. Oh, my God. It just smells like old people home farts. I don't even think old people fart in their homes. Like, I've never been around an old person in their own home that farted like that. I know that was kind of weird and random. But, yeah. You are what you attract. Old people farts. But, no. God, my heart. If I ate hard-boiled eggs, my farts would be erupted. It would be a bigger eruption than Eddie Van Halen solo. It would be a longer intro, too. Oh, you'll get the best of both worlds, all right. All right. But yeah. But yeah, you know, I guess that whole thing was just simply about, you know, just be the type of person that if you were to meet a replica of yourself, you'd be like, I would want to be around this person more than one time. It sounds kind of like simple and kind of stupid when you lay it out like that. But think about it. If you want to be, you either like pass and go with people like one time. You see someone like, I could care less if I see that person again. And it's either you want to see your one-time experience fucks it up, or you want to be around someone a lot of times. And so, you know, I just think it's important to kind of infiltrate that consistent approach and attitude about yourself. So you can become a lot more of the person that, you know, you never had. No, but I think is just be open to seasons and changes of stuff, you know. And just, I don't know. I should probably just shut up. But yeah. All right, I think I'm gonna end it there because I am so out of focus right now. Jesus Christ. And I got shit to do. But yep, I forgot to tell you that I forgot to introduce the fucking podcast. God fucking damn it. This is how you know I'm out of it. By the way, that was episode 271 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe. Hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. This is how you know I'm out of shape, because I never forget to do the fucking intro, and I forgot the fucking intro. God damn it. But yeah, enough self-loathing. Just load some lotion on your thighs and let me finger high level, because I'm focusing on your eyes. Yep, sugar eyes, honey buns. Alright guys, have a great day, night, morning, evening, whatever floats your buoyancy. Yeet. Alright, meep meep.